You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, DJ and Bucky, on an episode where we are breaking down the best of the big three quarterback pro days. That was at USC with Caleb Williams, that's LSU with Jaden Daniels, and that's North Carolina with Drake May. So we've been able to pull some of the commentary from those pro days, some of our thoughts and opinions on these guys, and thought we would put this together for you so you get a good feel for what happened with these top passers. Let's start first of all here with the conversation that took place during Caleb Williams' pro day at USC.
Great to be back here with you for another one of our pro day specials here on NFL Plus, taking us, of course, to the campus. They're 8.5 miles from where we sit here in Southern California. Rhett Lewis, Bucky Brooks, Daniel Jeremiah, all here with you as we welcome you to this pro day special here with USC. Guys, great to be back here to get this thing rolling and to get these pro days going. It is pro day season for sure. And as we talk about Caleb Williams, right, he gave us a collegiate career full of wow moments where off schedule became on brand. And that brand is set to command top dollar as the potential, if not probable, top pick once we get to Detroit. So, DJ, let's start it off by having you show us why we've been talking about Caleb as the number one dude for more than a calendar year.
Yeah, it's been wire to wire. And when you go to the video, you can see what get teams excited, specifically the Chicago Bears, to make the decision they made with Justin Fields. The play from the pocket, that's a big question, but when you study him, you'll see enough of it to know he's capable there. The big arm, the deep touch over the top, that's outstanding. The playmaking shows up with that elite arm strength. Watch him snap that hip. We'll watch some of those throws today when he's going left. He's got so much torque from his lower body, can generate tremendous velocity even when he's off schedule. How about this play, his introduction to the college football world? They're struggling in a rivalry game. He comes onto the field, leads a big comeback against Texas, and that's why I have him all the way up there at that number one overall pick, the first of two first-round picks for the Chicago Bears.
Look, I mean, you talk about Caleb Williams, you talk about the spectacular playmaking ability that he brings. You talk about the wow plays. DJ, you talked about off schedule, just being able to make plays in a variety of different ways. When you look at the National Football League, it's not just what the offensive coordinator can design, it's what can your quarterback create to keep the offense on schedule, but more importantly, to put points on the board. That's where Caleb Williams comes in. He shines when it's out of structure. When he has to make plays on his own, he does, and he does it in splendid fashion. It's one of the reasons people have talked about him as a generational talent. We'll see if some of that comes out in terms of his superpowers, but he certainly makes amazing things happen when he has the ball in his hands.
Some words are going to come up a bunch when you watch him throw. The first one, Buck, is smooth. You can just see it in his movements. He is very controlled, very athletic, very coordinated, very smooth. You see that when he's going to be on the move. You saw it throughout his time that he's played in college football. I think today, for me personally, Buck, I want to see the free throws. He's won the dunk contest. I've seen him do that. Like, you see that during the year. The off-schedule stuff, the different arm angles. Today, I think it's almost kind of do the basic stuff. Just clean, free, smooth, efficient workout.
It's funny that you point up the basic stuff because that's the stuff that everyone wonders, can he do that? Can he go back? It's funny because he does all the advanced stuff when you talk about off-platform throws, but can he sit in the pocket and deliver on time? Because his success in the National Football League will be as a timing rhythm quarterback. No one wants him running around the pocket like crazy. Can he deliver ball on time, on target, down after down after down?
Getting one of those deep over routes right there to Taj Washington.
Yeah, nice clean seven-step drop. His feet look good so far, comfortable. You know, when you come to some of these pro days, sometimes you want to see guys with more urgency in their drop. You want to see them, okay, let's get back. Let's show some quickness and some urgency getting away from center. Buck, with him, he was under center much. He's in the gun. I almost think there's times where he benefit from just kind of slowing it down a little bit. And some of that had to do with the pressure he was under. But just kind of slow it down, be a little more firm, a little less frenetic.
And I think sometimes when you have the success that he had early in his career, wins the Heisman Trophy his sophomore year, has to come back for his junior year, how do you top that? How do you top being celebrated as the best player in college football that third season? Sometimes, I believe last year, he pressed. He was trying to do too much, trying to live up to the brand that he's created as an off-platform thrower. If he just settles in and just kind of does the basics, look, he's a spectacular playmaker. I kind of liken him to Steph Curry. Like, you fall in love with all the trick shots, but at his heart, he's a very good fundamental player. Let's see Caleb master that part of his game.
Well, I didn't throw a whole lot of those.
Hitches.
Especially quick hitters. Second and third and long. Right?
Yeah, I was joking with Red about this earlier, Buck. You know, when you watch Caleb, I thought, look, he had to deal with two different types of pressures. The physical pressure from the pass rush and the pressure of the scoreboard, because every series he trotted out, there was another 7 points on the other side. Yeah. And when you get to, like, I was watching a game and it's second and 15. Most quarterbacks in second and 15, let's get half of it here and then we'll come get through it. No. He wants to go get all of it right now. That's one of the things he needs to kind of, hey, let's play within ourselves a little bit. We don't have to do everything.
So here's the funny thing about that part of it, because what you're talking about is not a talent-driven thing. It's something that is a fixable flaw. That's something, if he's willing to take coaching, you can get that out of him. You can tell him how to manage the game. And those. And I don't think game management is a big part of his issue, but hey, let's be disciplined. Let's just take the easies and then those
don't
big plays that happen.
Don't
the good
bored.
Thing about him, he has all the talent to do all the stuff that you want. Now it's just a matter of trying to teach him to play the right way, winning football.
Right. And like, that's kind of been the big debate here. It's like all of a sudden, you know, we went from being, you know, enamored with these creative off platform, off schedule type of throws and plays and things that he makes. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, now that's all he can do. But that's not the case. Just because he can do the creative stuff, which you love, right? You feel like you can probably find a way to rein in some of the stuff that you'd like to see a little bit more on schedule. Put the ball in play a little bit.
You would like to see him do some of those things, but you're
doesn't
right.
Mean he
like,
can't do
hey,
it.
Let's master the boring stuff. And because the offensive line was so bad, DJ talked about the defense and how they in all these shootouts. Maybe he had to push the envelope a little more in terms of playmaking. But if he plays with a good team, hey man, we just need to see those spectacular plays 3-4 times a game. Just really fall in love with the basics. So give us vanilla ice cream. That's all.
He averages about 5 of those a game, feels like, right? I mean, he can certainly do that.
This will tell you a little bit about, you know, kind of where it's got with him. I think you get fatigue a little bit when you go through the draft process when you're identified as that guy.
It feels like.
I posted a couple plays on social media the other day from the 2022 season against Utah, right? Mm. And just two impressive big-time plays from their regular season meeting. And the replies were fascinating. Yeah, and they lost, and they lost. They lost that game to Utah. And I didn't reply to it, but I'm sitting here going, the guy threw for 381 yards, 5 touchdowns, rushed 8 times for 57, and lost 43-42. I'm like, are we trying a little too hard trying to ding this guy now?
Not good enough. Little out of the reach.
That was Taj Washington, who made a nice catch a little earlier, and Rice made a nice catch on a seam route earlier as well.
Taj does not drop football.
No. So
he has terrific hands. And obviously Brendan Rice, who you see here, you know, led the Trojans in touchdowns with 12, was a popular deep, down the field target of Caleb. There he is right there, number 2.
Got through his hands a little bit. He's trying to show different trajectories here too. We've seen him drive some seam balls. Now he's trying to put a bunch of air under it. And that is one of the things that I think is a strength for him, too, when he's on the move, is that he can touch the ball up a little bit as well. Take something off of it, put a little loft on it.
Bucky and I were down on the field a little bit for the combine during the drills. DJ, I know you're up in the booth kind of watching everything, but you could see, like, when Xavier Worthy ran at 4.2, Caleb Williams
ran over
was, I mean, just absolutely ecstatic, you know, and the way he handled himself, you know, when he wasn't working out, wasn't doing, you know, all the testing, did measure in, talk to teams. And I thought the way he handled himself in front of all the cameras, in front of the microphones, kind of showed you he's got what it takes.
I agree with that. I want to ask Steve one more question, too. It's always nice to be on site to see these guys throw. Steve, through the screen that we're watching right now, it looks like it's pretty easy. Like, he's not a high-effort thrower where he's got to generate all of his strength to be able to throw the ball. It looks pretty free and loose out there. How does it look firsthand?
You nailed it. I mean, and bingo on that. And the thing is, again, and you guys know this, and folks who don't see this in person, the ball leaves different quarterbacks' hands differently. And when this thing, even though it's coming off easy, leaves Caleb Williams' hand, it has got an explosiveness to it where you're like, that ball, like, look at the touch on that. But when it left his hand, it was like, okay, there's no doubt he's going to get there, and he's hitting these guys in stride for the most part. And the one thing, and again, we've been to several of these pro days, and a lot of times they're scheduled to work one side of the field or the other side of the field, or a short route, then we get the next thing, intermediate route. They are mixing these all up. This is a real buffet of routes and kind of temperature, so to speak, that they're showcasing him, and that's different from some things I've seen in some of these quarterback workouts.
They're at a pretty good pace here with a lot of these throws, given the minimal numbers.
Well, one thing is when you play wide receiver for Lincoln Riley,
you're going to run.
Pace is something you're comfortable with.
I'm glad you brought up the touch too, and then we kind of showed that one as Steve was talking about it. Showed that throw there. I mean, I think back to, you know, like there's so many different plays that you could point to that illustrates the magnificence of Caleb Williams. I mean, just getting chased, running full speed, trying to evade the rush, and then just lofting a touch pass down the sideline to Marshawn Lloyd. I think it was against UCLA. I mean, just he's got all of the speeds, right? Because you see him launch those deep balls too, Buck, that land, you know, in Taj's hands or in Brendan Rice's hands, you know, just perfectly in stride.
Yeah, it's funny. The word that I think about when watching him is easy. The game just appears to be very, very easy for him. One of the things that you talk about, not only the arm talent, but when you watch him very early, freshman season, Oklahoma, he takes off on a quarterback power or whatever and goes
Texas, right?
The distance, like easy run away from it. We saw it at his best, his Heisman Trophy year, when he would leave the pocket. I mean, he's running away from people. This is a very dynamic playmaker. We talk about the arm talent, but I think it's the sneaky athleticism that he displays as a runner that is also going to be something where people try and make that link with him and Pat Mahomes. Remember, in big games, Pat Mahomes will use his legs to make sure his team always stays ahead of the chains.
That's the other thing, too. At a pro day, you get to see these guys in shorts and a T-shirt. He's put together now. He is a very strong, sturdy build, especially down his lower half. He's a thick, strong dude who's going to be able to not only be able to get his legs in the ground, be able to run, but also he's built to kind of absorb some punishment.
Oh, just out of the reach. I think that's Brendan Rice down there. Hey, DJ, how would you describe him as a runner?
Well, to me, I think a couple words come to mind when you watch him. He's creative, which is a big part of his entire game. But as a runner, he'll make you miss. He's very creative. I think he's rugged, which he might have to dial back a little bit in terms of some of the stiff arms and lowering his shoulder
tackles,
at times. And then to me, I just think of somebody who's competitive. You know, everything that he does, he's trying to compete. He has the walk-off winner against Arizona where he takes off and goes and finds his way into the end zone. But those are some of the words that came to mind. He's not like the high-end speed, but he racks up a lot of doubles with his running ability.
I would say that he reminds me, not necessarily a runner, he's a scrambler to me. I don't think you want to run quarterback power and those things with him, but you like that he has that extra dimension to his game. As we talk about Pat Mahomes and as we see in playoffs and Super Bowls, when it gets down to it, Pat Mahomes will take off, and you'll look up and he has 50 or 60 rushing yards that enhances the Chiefs' run game. I believe Caleb Williams is going to be that kind of rumble at the next.
I think even more sudden, right? He's got a little bit more juice. It feels like, but
I don't want to look. Yeah. I'm not totally not comparing them as players, but the way Steve Young used to run back in the day, where he would run over guys occasionally, stiff arm, kind of, you know, rugged.
Rugged tough. Is a great way to describe
that's
both those.
That's kind
things.
Of the running style that he has as a runner.
Yeah. Kind of rambling a little bit.
Mahomes
is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Might be the greatest of all time.
I mean, but I do think when people do that, and people always take scouts to task for the comparisons, but what you're trying to do is paint
styles.
His easy flowing nature to the way that he plays position is Pat Mahomes like. When you think about Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl and how he took it over when he needed to, there was never a sense of panic. I think when you watch Caleb, you never get a – I don't think you get a sense that, like, he panics or he speeds himself up, that he just kind of plays the game as the game kind of unwinds, unfolds for him.
The one game that I thought that happened, that I think if you – and I'm curious to see if somebody asked him the question. At Notre Dame this year was the game where they got him rattled.
Yeah.
He got rattled in that game.
Yeah.
So, again, I always remind people that there's no perfect prospect.
No.
There's no such thing.
And that's actually what you want to go to. When you're doing the film study, you want to go to the bad game. Because if I can see him at his worst, I think you got to assess where that floor may be.
Sure.
But
and I think that plays into some of the narrative in Chicago where they had this Fields-Caleb discussion and debate because Notre Dame's right down the street. And that was the game that was fresh in a lot of Bears fans' minds.
I mean, it is right there. It's in the backyard.
And look, the season was kind of coming off the rails a little bit at that point for USC anyway. Ended up getting back on track in the bowl game, which Caleb wasn't a part of. So, I mean, it's been, I mean, almost 4 months since we've actually seen him throw, obviously not having worked out at the combine. So this is a valuable moment. And in terms of things that you can gather about a player who, you know, we have, you know, had these lofty standards and expectations for, you know, since he transferred in from Oklahoma, like what would you hope to gain out of this if you're one of the 32 teams, you know, standing there?
Start first of all, is he in shape? He's in excellent shape. He doesn't look like he's sweating out here, and they're running at a pretty good clip. And people will laugh at that, say he's just throwing the ball. I've seen quarterbacks gas out at pro days. It happens. Right. So number one, he's in really good shape. I think he can tell he's worked on drops, he's worked on his feet. Everything there looks really smooth. Think about, again, how does the ball come out of your hand? If you're a coach, an offensive coordinator, or a head coach who jumps into the scouting, the evaluation process later, this is your opportunity to see him live, and I think you get an appreciation for the kind of horsepower he can generate, Buck.
Yeah, and I think it's all about the interaction with the teammates. It's being on campus, it's being able to watch him with his teammates as they're throwing. How does he support them? But more importantly, how do they support him when he does good things? And then being around campus, asking people, what is Caleb Williams like when he's around? How is he interacting with everyone in the building? All of those things to me really matter, because you're bringing not only a quarterback, but you're bringing a face of the franchise. He has to be able to handle the presidential expectations that he's going to have in terms of how he interacts with everyone in the building.
I know he's taller, but just in terms of the build and those huge hands that he has, it does remind me a little bit of Russell Wilson. When you watch Russell Wilson throw, he's got those huge hands. He just kind of swallows a football.
So to me, that is more the comparison with Caleb Williams, Russell Wilson, more so than Pat Mahomes. The thing that he's a better on-schedule thrower than Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is a better on-schedule thrower than Russell throughout his time when Russell was at Wisconsin. Caleb is a better player. But I think he reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson in his heyday when Russell was getting it done in Seattle.
I know people, for some reason, pro days bother some folks. They can't just take it for what it is and enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
But to me, this is about just thresholds, right?
Yeah.
You want to get there, just get over the thresholds. Yeah, have fun, watch him go out there, have a good time, spin it, let it go. But you just don't want to see somebody come out here and lay an egg. It's set up for you to be successful in this environment, and so far he's delivered.
It should be like in basketball, it should look like a layup line drill.
Yeah.
When we're shooting layups, like every layup should hit. Nobody we want to do all those things. All that other stuff is just the polish. What does he look like with the polish when you see him? He's had time to prepare for it. Is he ready? Does he live up to expectations? And I think so far he certainly has.
I think we'll have a Caleb conversation or two when we kick off Path to the Draft this season, Monday, April 1st, 6 Eastern, and every Monday through Friday up and through the NFL Draft here on NFL Network. Excited for that. We've got a deep shot here from Caleb. Take one of the corner with Brendan Rice on the money right there. I mean, that one was, what do you think, about 55 in the air on that bad boy?
I'll trust you on that one. Yeah.
A chance to see the marker on that one. It looked good.
It was enough. There's throws where you see him, you know, not even step into the throw, hang on his back foot, and get it 60 yards. So he's got arm strength is not an issue.
Yeah, I mean, the deep ball accuracy, you see him. I mean, they push the ball.
So Eberflus, who's he texting back there? He just put the phone back in his pocket. That could only have been an emoji. That wasn't enough time to do anything other than an emoji. That was,
or maybe that was a thumbs up.
Thumbs up, heart
reaction. Yeah, by going back and watching the 2022 tape of some of these guys, it made you realize why we love them in the first place a little bit. When you look at the differences between this year and the 2022 year for Caleb, is it cast around him? Is it, you know, kind of some of those external factors?
Look, it's a few things. Number one, their offensive line was better last year. He had Jordan Addison, a legit first-round wide receiver.
In 22.
Yeah. He played with trust. In other words, he trusted they were going to be there. He put the ball in some tight windows in the middle of the field and in between triangles of defenders where he trusted and he let it rip. I thought this year he didn't have the same protection up front. Mm-hmm. The quality of opponents stepped up too this year with Oregon and Washington on the schedule. They played some tougher teams as well. But then I didn't see him trusting things. And I thought, Buck, as we always like to use the line, he was trying to eat the whole sandwich in one bite instead of just trying to be methodical, be patient.
And I really think it's important that as an evaluator, you go back and not only look at last season, 2023, but you look at 2022, because that is the entire body work. It's not just the final season. And you have to evaluate him on all of those things and do the checks and balances in terms of how did he progress throughout his time at Oklahoma, at SC, and those things. That is going to give you a more accurate picture of what he could be at the next level.
There we go.
Take one deep down the middle here. Got it.
Nice.
Terrific throw and catch right there, Caleb Williams.
He can go straight into his English class after he caught that one. He's all the way almost out the stadium.
Oh,
he's going to punt it.
Oh, a little quick kick.
Right, that's how we're going to end it, it would appear.
That's something the Bears fans don't want to see much of.
No, not with Caleb Williams.
They've punted it off over the last few years.
That's true. And look, the expectations are going to be massive after trading Justin Fields away, you know, after we saw some incremental growth. You know, there in his game with the Bears over the course of the last couple of years. And now really starting fresh. New offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, comes in for Matt Eberflus now. And a fresh slate at quarterback, in which all signs seem to point towards Caleb Williams at this point. But, you know, plenty of drama in the draft. Could see a little bit more.
I felt like this was a salad pro day. Like, it wasn't, this wasn't a show-off pro day. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this is just going to. It's going to take care of business. Let's get in here. Let's get out of here.
Kind of like you're not a big Greek salad guy. A lot of different flavors in there. You're more of a Caesar, one like flavor. Yeah, stick that thing right down
it,
a fairway.
That's okay. It. A couple croutons and call it a day.
It's a good deal.
No anchovies. There we go.
Adam
saying
Peters.
Saying hi to Lincoln.
Oh, Adam Peters there.
Adam Peters, yep.
Okay, Ryan Poles.
Full hug, yeah.
Matt. All right, Eber everybody.
First Keenan. Yeah. That was good. I mean, again, I think that's a good analogy for it, DJ, right there. I love it. Bringing it back to the food.
It was not a five-course meal.
Get your daily greens.
Nothing like that. Just nice and easy.
Well, there you go with Caleb Williams. Let's get to the next one here. This is Jaden Daniels. Some have him as a top quarterback in the class. I think he's probably got a chance, a very good chance of being the second pick in the draft when it's all said and done. But here's some of the commentary here from Bucky on Jaden Daniels' pro day, throwing the ball to his big-time receivers, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr.
Bucky Brooks, Patrick Claibon here in the NFL LA Newsroom. Jaden Daniels finally throwing, didn't get to see it on the combine. What sets the Heisman Trophy winner apart from the other quarterbacks?
Well, he's unique because he's a high-end dual-threat playmaker. He's a guy that, look, he's the first one in CFS history to ever have 12,000 pass yards, 3,000 rush yards. We haven't seen that kind of success at the college football level. And so when you think about having a player who's a polished pocket passer but also has all the specialness to add it on design quarterback runs, improvisational plays, that is why people are salivating over the opportunity to maybe get him as a QB1.
And so the process has been extensive for Jaden Daniels. We finally get a chance to see him throw. We've seen him other places. We saw a triumvirate, a very talented a quarterback, a couple of wide receivers at LSU. They won a national championship. Joe Burrow won the Heisman Trophy. What about there is Jaden, along with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., supporting the LSU women's basketball team and Angel Reese and Haley Van Lith and them as they are in their NCAA tournament run. Getting a chance to see greatness on the basketball court. We've seen it on the football field. Let's go into an XO here, Bucky, and show the folks what makes Jaden so special.
Oh, so, Patrick, when we talk about Jaden, we talk about an A-plus passer and an A-plus runner. You see it, and you've seen it throughout his time in college. One, he has 55 career starts, so you've seen a long resume of success. Started at Arizona State, you saw the playmaking ability. But here's what gets people excited. It's the touch and the accuracy. There you see him delivering the deep ball, dropping it down the chute. Here's the vision, but I would say the timing and anticipation. Patient, being able to fit this ball into a tight window over the middle of the field. But it's not only that. We talk about being able to create outside of the pocket. This dude has big-time speed. He runs away from defenders. He creates problems because he's so challenging to defend. How do you want to do? You want to force him in the pocket. He's good enough to beat you that way. You pressure him inside, he can get around and get outside. He really has answers to all of the problems on the test, which is why he could be and should be a great player in the National Football League.
And so there we see Jaden with his quarterback coach, Taylor Kelly. We got a look, thanks to Andrew Groover and Cameron Wolf, the script that he's planned for today. They're going to go all over the field. In fact, they're already going, Buck.
Yeah, they're already doing. So you probably see him start short to deep, trying to get warm up, seeing some of these right now screens, ball coming out. You're trying to look at how quickly he can get it out, catch, rock, and throw. And then eventually they'll progress to some more higher difficult degree of difficulty throws.
In terms of evaluating a pro day, Bucky, because there's a million different ways you can look at it. People want to count how many balls hit the ground. What do you want to see?
So for me, the first thing you want to see is just what does the arm look like? The velocity, the zip, the arm talent. What is it like compared to other elite players at the position? You want to see what does his arm look like in comparison to Patrick Mahomes? Does his arm look strong enough to be able to cut the wind if we play in the NFC East? Can he play on the road in inclement conditions? Those are some of the things you want to see. Then I want to see the footwork. Does the footwork marry up to the eyes, which marries up to where the ball goes? Does it hit the target consistently? All of those things are part of it. So it's not necessarily about the completions. It's about the ball placement. Where does it hit? Can he hit the intended target from a variety of different angles?
So we're going to have a chance to see Drake May throw tomorrow. The obvious takeaway and when you talk about these two quarterbacks is the talent on the outside, and we'll get to see Brian Thomas as well as Malik Nabers in this workout. How much does it help in a pro day workout? Because I'm looking at the script here, the high-level difficulty throws are going to those two guys. How much does it help to have
them? Well, I give him credit. I'll check out my little box for intelligence. Yeah, look, the ball should go to the best players when you have big money hanging on the line, and so he understands that. He wants to get it. I think you have to try and separate the player from the supporting cast. How good is the player? Well, the good thing about Jaden, we had a chance to see him in two different schools. We saw him play at Arizona State. We're able to look at what he was there versus what he's become at LSU. How much is it him developing or improving as a player? How much of it is, oh, he's playing with a better team. That's why they're better. Because he spent 2 years at LSU, you can begin to kind of separate what's his responsibility, what role he contributed to the team having success and his numbers going versus, hey, if he was a one-year wonder, we probably would give it all to the playmakers on the outside.
And how that 1 year being the last year, the final year, because we look at, say, a Drake or a Caleb, they're second to last year is kind of the statistically the season that jumps out. How much of a benefit for that is Jake?
Well, it's a benefit because if you look at it, because you look, growth isn't linear. It's ongoing, and sometimes there's some dips in it. Well, Jaden Daniels finishes his collegiate career on a high. Heisman Trophy winner. The numbers are spectacular when you watch what he was able to do at LSU. So you're thinking this guy's only getting better at the game. He comes to the National Football League. He's going to continue to build upon what he's learned from his time at LSU. That is positive for Jaden Daniels. So, look, I would say it's the big three at the top of the board, and I'm not talking about Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, and Drake. I'm talking about these guys, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, and Marvin Harrison Jr. The difference is Marvin Harrison Jr. is a smooth floor playmaker, not as fast, but he's just steady and dependable, reliable, can do a bunch of different things as the number one target. Malik Nabers has the juice. He is the explosive playmaker. He can turn short passes into big games. You see the explosiveness, the big play ability he brings all all of that. Brian Thomas Jr. is just gifted. Very talented. The game is easy for him. Still kind of coming into his own as a number one receiver. But in Nabers and Harrison Jr., the explosiveness that he has, how fast he ran today, certainly is going to make people think, if I need that big play option, that big play weapon as my number one receiver, Nabers might be the pick over Marvin Harrison Jr.
Also, a lot of speed through this throwing session. Jaden may be working up a sweat here, bro.
I mean, he's going no huddle tempo. He's trying to rip through it. One of the things that stands out to me is this guy's terrific throwing in breaking routes, meaning routes that are going more towards the middle of the field, inside the numbers. He does that. For some quarterbacks, that's really difficult because of the traffic, kind of discourages them. He's terrific on it. Some of the struggles that we've seen, outbreaking routes, more arm talent, more arm strength, those things. We talked about he did most of his damage intermediate areas. And one thing we talk about trying to have comparisons. The comparison to C.J. Stroud to me is not quite there. I think he kind of reminds me a little more of Deshaun Watson when Deshaun was coming out of Clemson.
Okay, so Malik Nabers at YGuard13 on social media website, twitter.com, going to say 4-2-8, fix it. He would like us and everybody else to note 4-2-8. I feel it. If there's a clock that says 4-2-8, why wouldn't Malik Nabers?
But it depends on whose clock it is, though. Like, I mean, like it can't be my man from way out in the stands that's his buddy doing it on his iPhone. It has to come from an official scout on a stopwatch. And you got to make sure you have the finger right, not the thumb, all those other things. And so I get Malik wants that 4-2-8, but we got to get some verifiable sources that said that 4-2-8 is legit.
Well, right down the street, the LSU Tigers have two indoor national championships in track and field, 4 outdoor national championships.
I mean, we could put him on the laser.
Maybe we could bring a laser in, not just there, maybe everywhere. But I'll hop off my soapbox here as Jaden continues to work. You mentioned the outbreaking routes. I'm sure as we see Jaden hit that one, there was one earlier in the throwing session to Elite Neighbors. Somebody may clip that off and be like, contextualize that miss for us.
So early. Look, it's early in the game. Look, you're normally super nervous when you're doing this because no matter how many games you play, there's something with all the money on the line, with all the scouts and coaches right there looking at you. It may take you a while to get into his rhythm. But, yeah, the only bad throw that we've seen is an early throw to his left, an outbreaking throw. That can be a hard one anyway because you're going away from the strength. Like, sometimes it can be hard throwing across your body, making that throw to the left. You got to open up your hip.
What scheme works for Jaden Daniels? If you're designing an offense, what offense would come to mind with Jaden Daniels?
Oh, well, I mean, I think any of these new schemes. Here's what I say about Jaden Daniels. I think he's a scrambler, not a runner. The difference between Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson is a runner where you're giving him the ball like a running back. Jaden Daniels, to me, does his damage on creative plays, extending plays, the pocket breaks down, he takes off running. He's not the guy that's going to do that. When I think about offenses, look, I think about anything that has the ability to feature a mix of shotgun, understanding movement-based stuff, some RPOs because he can get the ball out of his hands quickly. He can play in a new school offense that is primarily featured in the National Football League. We see it all over the league. So I don't think he's necessarily tied to a scheme, but I think it's really important that the offensive coordinator know exactly what they're getting in Jaden Daniels. You're getting a scrambler, not necessarily a design quarterback runner.
And based on that, because when you see the non-designed runs, if you go back to Lamar's freshman season at Louisville all the way to the AFC Championship game, I've never seen him take hits like Jaden took in his final year at LSU. Is it inexperience?
No.
What's the mindset?
No, I would say it's the awareness because remember, Lamar Jackson has played like he's played since he was a kid. Like he's been the guy that has been the runner who could throw and make plays. He was the best athlete on the field. They put the ball in his hand and allowed him to play quarterback, and we saw him grow up as a quarterback. Jaden Daniels has always been the thrower. Coming all the way back to when he was at El Cajon, he was a thrower. He was not a runner. He set records as a passer, not as a runner. This is, I would say, a recent revelation that he had this superpower in his bag. But I think the way that you use Jaden Daniels is the same way that the Chiefs use Patrick Mahomes' athleticism. Not by design, but in gotta-have-it moments, oh, take off, get what you can, but get down. The difference between Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson is I would call that spatial awareness. Lamar Jackson is always aware of where the defenders are. I don't know if Jaden Daniels has that innate ability to know where defenders are when he's running the ball.
But he did measure in at 210 pounds today, throwing in the long sleeves. I'm sure people are going to parse that. But this is, we've seen him miss, but when he has missed, he's missed long. There's a beautiful shot down the middle of the field. Is that what you want? You want to see a guy miss, if he does miss? Yeah, have to be on the aggressive side.
Yeah, you want them to be aggressive. And this is one, you remember when guys are throwing on air, they should be able to complete 80 to 90% of the passes because there's not a defense out there. This is a show-off session. So whether or not it's completed is for the evaluators to determine, well, how much range do we have when he's at quarterback? How far can we push the ball down the field? How do we need to manufacture the deep ball when he's at quarterback? Does our offense need to be more of an intermediate base offense, or do we have the full run of the field to be able to attack with Jaden Daniels at quarterback? Part of the workout is allowing scouts and evaluators to determine where he fits within their system while also giving them a little time to figure out how might we need to adapt our system to really best suit his talents.
Because, of course, there's talent on the outside, but everything started with the quarterback.
Oh, it all started with the quarterback. We can say all that thing about Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas and how talented they are, but really, without a quarterback, they're just running track. I mean, it's the 4x1 without the baton. I mean, you're just running over and over and over again, not getting it. Jaden Daniels allowed those guys to really showcase their talents because he consistently put the ball in the strike zone. And I'll say this. You talk about 2 first-round talents on the outside. They deserve credit for their contributions. But make no mistake, Jaden Daniels made that offense work. His playmaking ability as a dual threat certainly added a dimension to an offense that had been pedestrian prior to his arrival.
So we're getting a look at him taking some under center snaps. We're programming those to the pro today. throw and play action. How do you feel about the different things that they've shown us today, he and his QB coach, Taylor Campbell?
Well, I mean, look, it's been a solid overall pro day when it comes to the scripting. We've seen him execute it pretty well. I can't say that it's an A-plus workout, but it's been solid. We've seen the ball hit the ground a few times. The thing about it is, if you like Jaden Daniels coming in, there is nothing that has taken place today that would discourage you from doing that. If you had concerns about his frame and his durability based on what he looked like when he was at LSU, you're still going to have those same concerns because he's 210 pounds. It really is a matter of being able to imagine what could he be at his best, and can we build an offense around him that would allow him to play to his strengths while also allowing the team to stick to their identity on offense.
Now is the time to accelerate innovation. T-Mobile for Business is powering Formula One Las Vegas Grand Prix operations and epic fan experiences with secure, reliable 5G connectivity. Because an event this big and this fast deserves a network that can set the pace. See what our 5G advanced network solutions can do for your business at T-Mobile.com/now. View 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right. Great to hear the comments there from Buck. Give you a good little insight there to what took place at LSU. We've got one more to go. Let's get to it right now. This is North Carolina's Pro Day coverage. Again, Bucky doing a great job breaking down what he saw from Drake May, their very talented quarterback. Here's what took place in Chapel Hill.
Less than a month until the 2024 NFL Draft, we are in beautiful Chapel Hill, North Carolina for North Carolina's Pro Day. Quarterback Drake May didn't work out, didn't throw at the NFL Scouting Combine. Will he solidify himself as a top pick today at the indoor practice facility in Chapel Hill, playing for North Carolina like Bucky Brooks did? Welcome into the NFL LA Newsroom. Patrick Claybaugh, Bucky Brooks. We've seen Caleb last week. We saw Jaden yesterday. Now, Drake May has a chance to state his case to be a top quarterback in the draft class.
He absolutely has an opportunity to state his case, and he has a strong case, and he's the prototype at the position. When you look at Drake May and you study him, size, arm talent, athleticism, high football IQ and instincts, he is everything that quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators have wanted at the position in the National Football League for decades. That is why there is buzz still around his name as a top prospect.
And so, see Drake May getting a chance to warm up here as that throwing session about to get underway. And again, it's not just Drake May. Upwards of 15 guys from North Carolina taking part in today's pro day, including linebacker, very talented linebacker, Cedric Gray, as well as Tez Walker, who will be prominently featured in this upcoming throwing session by Drake May. Again, well attended by a lot of NFL staff as well as league representatives. Also, as we see Mac Brown, they're watching his quarterback, Drake May, gets set for this workout. Bucky, 70 throws, as Mike mentioned. It looks like we're going to start with some smoke routes, some hitch routes, but you can't ding a guy for that when ultimately he's going to throw the ball 70 times today.
Yeah, that's a real robust workout compared to the workouts that we've seen previously with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Those guys were right around 50 to 55 throws. Drake May wants to show and prove to everybody why he was regarded as a top prospect coming into the season, and he wants to rebuild that buzz that was around his name.
And that buzz, of course, coming after a spectacular 2022 season. If you can briefly contextualize why you think there was a significant drop-off statistically, or maybe eye test as well, from Drake May the year before last year and then last year.
Okay, so everyone has to understand in 2022, he was one of only six quarterbacks since 2010 to have 4,000 pass yards, 35 pass touchdowns, 650 rush yards, and 7 rush touchdowns. Guys like Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, they were in that conversation. RG3, Marcus Mariota, those guys, that's what we're talking about, what he was in. Last year, the drop-off didn't have the same talent around him, had a new offensive coordinator. And I'll be honest, I felt like he felt the pressure of having to live up to the expectations that kind of preceded his arrival into that final season. Maybe he wanted to be QB1. Maybe he had heard all the noise about Caleb Williams, and he felt like he had to do too much because he didn't play at the same level. That said, the talent is still there. You see the talent shows up on tape. It's just a matter of being able to understand why there was the fall off, and is a team willing to bypass that to look at the traits that he brings to the table.
And now we're seeing Drake still, this is not yet into the script, going through warm-up. So actually we're going to surpass 70 throws as he gets set here. It looks like, according to the script here, which the David Morris, QB Country, and folks were kind enough to share with everybody. We're going to see Tez get the majority of the targets today. And you mentioned that's probably a good idea.
It is a good idea. You want to see him throw to NFL caliber receivers. And that's not taking anything away from the guys that are also catching passes. But you want to see that because the timing is going to be most like what he's going to do at NFL level. What we're seeing early now, this is like pat and go. So these are layup line drills in basketball. Just have an opportunity to just kind of see the form, see the ball kind of get out of his hands. It's easy throwing. Everyone who has been around Drake May, everyone who has watched these games live, you have a feel for the velocity and the arm talent. This is an opportunity for him to show it off in a different way as he eases into this workout.
All right, looks like we are going to get to the actual script of today, starting with a couple of smoke routes. Out showing him getting the ball out of his hands pretty quickly, though.
Yeah, now you're going to see that get the ball out of his hands. These are the easy throws, but also the tempo with which he's working, we're going to get a chance to see his conditioning level because it looks like he's out the gate going fast like they're in an up-tempo offense. I like that because it keeps his board, but it's one of those things that we'll also see from him.
All right, we'll get to our first hitch, then another one. Inside slant coming up the offense, Bucky. Dealer's choice? What are you designing an offense around Drake May?
Well, I think he's easy because we've talked about it from the top. He is the prototype. He is exactly what has played at the position for years on end. 6'4", 230 pounds, big-time arm talent, high IQ and intangibles. But what he also has is the athleticism to work off the script. He can do the design quarterback runs. He can scramble and make plays. So really, I mean, look, it's wide open for him. It says he can play in an offense that any offensive coordinator designs, and that is a great thing when you evaluate him as a prospect.
Swinging that ball out to his left there as Drake May continues to go through his workout. We also saw a little bit of it in a few clips of Drake May using his legs. Legs underappreciated for Drake May?
I think underappreciated. And he's different than what I would say some of the other quarterbacks. So when we talk about Jaden Daniels, we talk about he can run, but he's more of a scrambler. When we see J.J. McArthur, once again, it's still more of a scrambler. Drake May, if he wants to, he can tuck it under his arm and do some of those quarterback powers and things. I wouldn't suggest it, a heavy diet of it. We've seen only a few guys that can do it like a Josh Allen, but he certainly has that club in his bag, and it allows you to add dimensions to your offense.
So there he hits Tez coming on a slant. We're going to take a break and get to the next section of throws. 70 throws would be.
Man, I feel like he's trying to do this workout in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I
mean, this is coming out.
He is whizzing through this workout.
Any comps for Drake May?
Yeah, so here's what I like, man. I love, like, when I was working in the league, we would always bring prospects in and ask them, who do you pattern your game after? Well, Drake May has said he patterns his game after Josh Allen. And I love that because you can see that in his play, how rugged he is as a runner, the talent that he has, and the special things that he brings to the table. I believe he's more like Justin Herbert. Watching Justin Herbert and how he operated at Oregon, the way that he has transitioned to the National Football League, that is what I would expect from Drake May, even though while we were talking, he had a little errant pass that went well over the head of the wide receiver. It's okay. It happens.
Yeah, it happened. And it happened yesterday to Jaden. Mm-hmm. And we also talked about it also early in the workout. It's just one of those things where you just have to eventually get into it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think everybody, like, no matter how long you play, like, this is a pressurized environment. Look at the number of people that are there watching him. He understands what is riding on this workout. The pressure and the butterflies can get to you. What we will expect to see him do is to settle in, and you'll see that talent begin to pop.
That's interesting that the hushed nature of the crowd there in the indoor facility when that ball hit the side was reverberating throughout, but it looks like he's grooving this out route.
And right now, you can tell he's just an easy thrower. Like, the one thing that I can say about the guys that we watched at these pro days, first with Caleb Williams, then with Jaden Daniels and Drake May, it is very easy for them to make these throws. It's not a lot of they're not laborious work where they're just really having to really push it and grunt and put everything into it. It's easy for them. And as a offensive coordinator or quarterback coach, you like that. There's some things that you can work with. And also, people are saying that acknowledging there's some little mechanical things that they can fix in terms of his footwork and making sure everything operates on time. But the base level, the floor skill set, is absolutely what you desire at the position.
As we get into these seam passes, Drake May starting to show some, not necessarily signs of fatigue, but the fact that he is working through this workout pretty quickly. Early reviews, but anything that would take you off Drake May today?
No, nothing that would take you off, but he has missed a few throws, and that's some of the stuff that shows up on tape. When you talk to the offensive coaches about Drake May, they talk about some of the things that they can fix when it comes to his footwork and everything not being tied together. That's what coaching is for. Right now, as an evaluator, what you're looking at is, what is the talent like? What can I do with the talent? And the talent is there. There we see an overthrow on an out. This is the second out that he's overthrown by a wide margin. But I think that speaks to some of the fundamentals that you have to work with. But remember, he talked about comparing himself to Josh Allen. Maybe he's kind of leading us to the water when it comes to how Josh Allen was developed. Maybe he needs to have the same kind of developmental process.
And so, and looking at, you know, a quarterback's throwing motion from the ground up, if you're trying to evaluate as they come right back to that throw and he hits it to Tez, where do you make draw the line between this guy has worked to get to this point? Or, and I don't know how much farther I can get him, or I can fix that no matter what.
Oh, and I think the first thing that you're looking for is you're looking at just the natural talent, right? So he comes in 6'4", 230. You see that. You see when he spins it, you can feel the velocity coming off the ball. We've seen the athleticism in those things. And then Steve talked about the intangible qualities and leadership. So you like all of those things. Well, now it's about coaching, just like you would coach a high school kid or whatever. Here's where you start. Here's how we're going to build your game each and every day. And over time, those little small gains will allow him to be a much better player. You like the prospect. Now it's about trying to figure out, well, how soon do we need our quarterback to play? And if we have a veteran in place, do we have enough time to redshirt him for a year? All of those things come into play. So even when you draft him, if you draft him 2 overall, you still have to have the same plan and process in place. One of the things, so you talked about, like, when he made a mistake, he can immediately identify it. And then you notice he would go right back and run the same route. To me, that is the awareness to be able to understand what I did wrong and then to immediately self-correct. As a young player, and I think everyone has to understand this about Drake May. Drake May has only played 2 years in the last 4 years of football. Didn't play his final season of high school because of COVID. Didn't play his freshman year because of the presence of Sam Howell, and he redshirted. So he's only played the last 2 years. So even though it seems that he's an older player entering the league, he's really a young player, which is why most would advocate for him sitting that first year to allow him to acclimate to the pro game, to learn how to play at the high level while also working on some of those fundamental flaws. Everyone has to understand the background and perspective and make sure that they build a plan that meets him where he is so he can manage the expectations. When you make a decision to take a quarterback like a Drake May, really with all quarterbacks, it should be an organizational decision. From ownership down, everyone has to have a clear plan for when Drake May is going to get on the field, how we're going to develop him, how much patience we're going to show when it comes to his development, and you have to get on board. We have seen, I would say, the team that has been the best at developing quarterbacks over the last 30 years has been the Green Bay Packers. We saw how patient they were with Aaron Rodgers. It took Aaron Rodgers 3 years before he got onto the field. It took Jordan Love 3 years before he got onto the field. I'm not advocating that it takes Drake May 3 years, but the patience that the Green Bay Packers have exhibited has allowed their quarterbacks to seamlessly transition from the college game to the pro game. If someone would take a similar plan with Drake May, I believe he will have outstanding success at the next level.
Yeah, so not just adhering to the idea of sitting, but having a plan and adhering to that plan no matter what it is versus going into a week 7 game and there's some conversation about the quarterback and you just kind of throw it.
And so a lot of that is tied into the head coach and how secure the head coach is at the position. If it's a head coach who knows he has years on his deal and knows that he has time to develop his team, to develop his quarterback, well then when the first sign of trouble, you don't throw the young quarterback into the game because the outside noise is saying so. This has to be one where everyone has enough restraint to have a long-term vision. We are going to develop this quarterback because this quarterback has immense talent, and we want to make sure that he realizes his potential.
But it's going to be a post coming up here to Sam. I believe on a 5-step drop. We'll see how accurate I am.
Oh, he's telling me, guys, clear out. Clear out. Make sure you got room. I'm going to let this one go.
That's what we want to see. Maybe we'll get some more oohs and ahs. There's the post.
Oh, yeah, we're going to let it go. We're going to make sure we air it all the way out.
Solid tracking, man.
Solid track, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that he caught it. We didn't see the finish, but it sounded like he caught it, but it was a great throw. And this is the stuff that Drake wants to show off because you want to check out, well, how much range? Like, how limitless is his range? Is he a guy? Okay, so yesterday, the other day, we talked about Jaden Daniels, and we talked about he's an intermediate playmaker. He does his work. He can throw it deep, but it's different. With Drake May, we're just talking about the raw talent, being able to push it down the field. Well, that changes. Now, in a run-based offense with vertical passing game off play action, he really can attack and get you those explosive plays. You're trying to take all of that information in. As you're watching him, you're also trying to imagine what kind of offense can I build around his talent. And so it's easy to sell a guy like Drake May when the talent pops like that. They can live with some of the mistakes and the miscues because the talent is at a high level. You're hearing that, and that is why he may be drafted ahead of other guys who are more productive because the projection is serious when it comes to being a high-level player.
Yeah, and as Steve mentioned, Drake checked his watch and there's time. That was it. Rolling to his right, one-leg fadeaway ball to Tez. And he goes and daps him up. You know, as we get closer to the finish here, let's discuss his footwork. Because, I mean, of course, on a one-leg fadeaway, what can you do? But it's the other stuff. How do you feel that he's doing there?
Well, I mean, today it's fine. But we've seen some of the good stuff that we love about, but we've also seen the bad stuff. Like, so it hasn't coordinated. We've seen some errant throws and that stuff. But guess what? That's what coaches are for. Coaches are the most prospects come into the league with flaws. Coaches' jobs are to kind of rectify some of the flaws and put them in a position to play at their best. The stuff that we're seeing from Drake May, a lot of it is correctable. So if I am a team builder, if I am a quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, I'm excited about what could be. And you have to focus on the possibilities more so than the deficiencies, because the possibilities with a guy as talented as he is, significant. Look, man, he has unbelievable talent. Now it's about harnessing it and trying to put it in a system that allows him to flourish.
As we welcome you inside the broadcast booth here from the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, Texas. Great to be here with you for the first of its kind, a conference-wide pro day. This is the Big 12 Pro Day. I am Rhett Lewis here with lead draft analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Man, we'll share our day one draft desk in Detroit with him, Charles Davis. Guys, great to be here with you. And DJ, I imagine the former scout in you also sees some real benefits to getting every school together for this conference-wide pro day.
Yeah, you think of all the travel that goes along with scouting. So from a convenience standpoint, you know, scouts are going to dig this, having everybody here at one spot. And I think also for the teams, Charles, it makes sense. Sometimes you're going to have a down year, which might mean you don't get as much turnout at your individual pro day. Well, you have a down year here. It doesn't matter. The entire NFL, the entire league is here to watch you.
And let's face it, everyone is here for himself, right?
Yeah, sure.
We all are here to be the best we can be. But there is something about the sport of football that lends itself to camaraderie. Yeah. And when you have your whole conference here, right? Everyone says our conference is better than your conference. Here's an opportunity for them to shine as a group, while, of course, extending yourself your best to the best of your abilities as an individual.
So, Daniel Jeremiah, as we assess impact players today, who stands out to you?
Well, first of all, they all ran 40. So who ran fast?
Yeah.
It was Xavier White. He did a nice job ripping off a mid-4.4 40, which was impressive to see. When you're a wide receiver, you want that to be your calling card. Texas Tech, who's had some great testers over
Better
the years, he's next in line here as you watch him go through the field workout. So solid day for Xavier White, starting with that 40 time. And then after him, to me, you look at Javon Baker, who had a really nice day with the field workout. Didn't get a chance to see him run the 40. He did all that at the combine. But I thought he was clearly the cleanest route runner we had on the workout on the field.
Yeah, and he got a little extra work in. We'll get to that here in just a second. But CD, as far as impact players for you, what caught your eye?
Yeah, you know, Daniel talked about it. How fast can you run the 40? That catches your eye if you're a wide receiver. But even if you're not the fastest guy there, can you run fast enough to continue to keep my interest?
Yes.
And I thought that two guys did that. Dimitri Stanley out of Iowa State and Phillip Brooks out of Kansas State. Both of them ran in the low 4.5s. All right. And what really caught my eye is their fact that they both can return the football. And didn't we just get a new kickoff NFL?
We did.
So guess what? The return guy still has value, whether it's punt return, kick return, the whole deal. Both of them well muscled, well compacted. I just like the fact that they're running low 4.5s. Can catch the ball for you if you need them as a receiver, and maybe they make their way as return guys in the NFL.
And we mentioned Brooks getting a little bit extra work. That was because he was out there with his former quarterback at UCF, John Rhys Plumlee, who asked for permission to run an extra throwing session, was granted by the Big 12. So he put up an extra 50 throws or so, kind of more like a traditional school pro day. So he was able to get a little bit of extra work in and impress some of the scouts and evaluators in attendance.
All right, that's going to do it. Hope you guys got a chance to get a little flavor there of what went down with those quarterback pro days. We talked about J.J. McCarthy's pro day on an earlier episode this week. If you haven't heard that, go back and check that one out, as well as the conversation and the fun exercise we did with the offensive players only mock draft. That gets us to what's coming your way next week. Starting on Monday, we will have the defense only mock draft coming your way. Also want to remind you, if you get a chance, you can check out the Big 12 Pro Day coverage on NFL Network. That is from March 27th through the 31st on NFL Network. That's going to do it for us. Appreciate you guys hanging with us. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.